brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, to another suds segment, where we believe that the only thing better than drinking beer is, well, I don't know that we found the only thing better than drinking beer.
Moist.
We are dedicated to looking, though, at the bottom of all the glasses that had beer in them.
And all the cans.
And the cans.
Yes.
And bottles.
Especially the cans.
Clap your hands.
Yes. Well, I am one of your hosts, good old gal Juliana, and joining me today for this special episode is Reverend Mark.
Hello, hello, friends. Good to be around the table with you all.
Good old boy Drew.
Oh, that's me. I'm excited.
Me so tired.
What? Good old boy Dave.
Hey everybody, I'm here.
No yeah, sound.
This is the real me.
Effect.
I'm a real boy.
Hi everybody.
How adorable.
I ran out of buttons.
Wow, that's a first. Well, today's episode is a side of beer where many fear to tread.
Where angels fear to tread?
A dark side.
Oh. Oh. There are a lot of misconceptions about dark beer. They're too strong. They taste like motor oil.
They say those things they're about chewy. Reverend Mark.
Those are bad?
Well, to some people, they're bad. But they simply are not true. We've talked a lot about traditional dark ales like stouts and porters, but today we're going to explore something even more mysterious.
It's made with bits of real panther, so you know it's good.
Otherwise known as dark lagers. Reverend Mark, would you mind giving us today's lineup of all things dark and devious?
Yeah, I'd be glad to, and really one of my favorite styles all the way around. So the beers that we will be sampling today and discussing, starting off at the top of the list, is Schwarzweather, a Schwarz beer. By Spangalang Brewery in Denver, Colorado.
Best brewery name ever.
Yeah.
Spangalang.
Yeah. Kind of like that Chuck Berry song, My Spangalang, My Spangalang.
Everybody sing, I want what? You to play with me.
There may or may not be children listening to this show. I mean, it's probably a bad idea, but still.
There may or may not be children hosting this show.
And as we can continue to degenerate here, we'll go to the Shirtless Putin, Catching Rays. A Czech dark lager given to us by the Call to Arms Brewing Company in Denver, Colorado.
Appropriately named.
Yeah. Unfortunately. The next one will be the Obscura Dark Mexican Lager from Trivoli Brewery. I think I've got that right.
See.
In Denver, Colorado.
Bueno.
A lot of Denver beers coming our way. And then the Big Bad Bronze Baltic Porter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I say too.
And that's from the Odyssey Beer Works and Brewery and Tap Room in Arvada, Colorado.
You're not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
And then rounding it up will be the Czech Dark Lager from Brews Beers in Denver, Colorado.
That's an interesting brewery name. They brews beers at Brews Beers?
Smack them around a little bit.
I guess so.
You know what? You have to show those beers who's boss.
Sometimes.
Right? You gotta knock them around a little bit.
Sometimes you really do. And if time permits, we're going to have a bonus beer or two. Thank you, Reverend Mark. That was most excellent. Okay. Good old boy Drew, are you ready? Please give us the suds ratings for today. And if you would, please use your deepest, darkest voice.
Hold on to your loved ones.
And your sound.
We'll be discussing and rating these beers with these suds ratings, plus our signature belching sounds. Here are those ratings now. 1, that sucks. Give me anything but a bud. 2, was that a belch? 3, what a relief. 4, a body should really not make that sound. Gadget. 5, listen to that hang time and give me another. Next time.
That was fun.
Good old boy Drew is available for all Halloween and outdoor comedic events.
And kids' birthday parties.
You don't want me inside.
Whoa.
Wow.
I'm gonna take that clip. I'm gonna use that.
All right, let's get to the beer. The first one that we are going to talk about is Schwarzweather. It's a Schwartz beer from Spangling Brewing Company.
I see your Schwartz is as big as mine.
So Schwartz beer is a black lager for those that are keeping up. And this is 5% ABV. It's a black lager with hints of chocolate and coffee. So, thoughts?
Go, Revmark. Go, man.
So, yeah. I think that this, is a perfect and most illustrative.
Ooh, that's a 25-cent word.
Drink. If one wants to talk about Schwartz beer, it's extremely dark, and yet the flavor just sends you on a really light and delicious pace that could allow you to drink several pints of this without even noticing.
It is. Yeah. I mean, it's like insanely dark. It's opaque dark, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which makes you think that it's going to be something very chewy and very heavy, but it's
not.
No, not at all.
I, Schwartz weather. I was wondering, is that a play on sweater weather or shorts? Sure. Because frankly,
I think both.
Yeah. I could drink this in the winter. I could drink this in the summer. It's approachable. Mm. Delicious.
So it literally means black beer in German. Sometimes called a black pils, this beer is rarely as dark as black or as hop forward and bitter as a pils. Strongly roasted porter like flavors are a flaw. So it shouldn't taste like a porter.
Right.
Like it should be smoother.
Go what?
You know, a regional specialty from Thuringia, Saxony, and Franconia in Germany, served as the inspiration for black lagers brewed in Japan. You know what? Those guys, they steal everything from people. Popularity grew after German reunification in 1990. Characteristic ingredients, German Munich malt and Pilsner malts for the base with huskless, no husks.
That would dark, be huskless.
Dark roasted malts that add roast flavors
fully husked.
Without burnt flavors.
De-husked.
German hop varieties and clean German lager yeast are traditional. So there you go.
Yeah.
Should be just a clean, smooth beer that just looks dark, you know.
And it is.
It does have some roasty character to it, though. So that's a flaw.
I don't. I think it can have some.
Yeah. No. I don't think. I think it's just enough.
I think if it came out as aggressively roasty, it would be a flaw.
Is there a, let's say, aggressive? This all seems very subjective.
Like a coffee Schwartz beer would probably not. Go.
You wouldn't flavor a Schwartz beer with coffee.
Okay.
Be like double brew.
I mean, you could do a lactose Schwartz beer.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Can we not? Why? Just because you say that we did?
Just because.
But then
you
is
can?
It really even a Schwartz beer anymore?
Yeah. I mean, at that point, isn't it like hard iced coffee?
Right? Ooh. Or something?
Or like we've seen in so many other delicate styles, the imperialization of this product.
Yeah, would imperial not be Schwartz beer.
Yeah, that wouldn't be so good. Yeah, man. It might be good, but it wouldn't be a Schwartz beer.
Yeah.
It's like I tell my wife, bigger's not always better.
You know? Autocrats with their imperial Oh, wait, that's a different meaning.
Yeah. Okay, so let's dumb it down for just a minute for those that are new. No, I was thinking for me. So a black IPA is going to be dark. It's going to be roasty, but it's going to have a lot of hops. And it's also brewed with an ale yeast versus a lager yeast.
Right. Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. There's two different kinds of yeast? Drew, maybe we need to back up.
Drew has brewed a lot of dark IPAs.
But
at least one.
But they're IPAs, therefore they're ale yeast.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. I don't have the space nor equipment nor patience for lagering, unfortunately.
I guess you could brew a dark IPL.
You could. Why not?
I've had one.
Like Jack's Abbey's probably done one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think even obviously hops, a lot of hops at least, would be distracting to this style.
Sure.
Unbalanced even.
So yeah, and an ale yeast would, you know, give it a little bit more of a estery profile, just even a little, which you don't want in this beer in particular.
Right, because you want it clean and you want it dry. And this is clean and dry. I mean, granted, it's roasty, but it's otherwise clean and dry. Now, there's a fine line between adding a lot of dark malt to make something look really dark.
Right.
Like dark as night as this, but not produce a lot of like really dark roasted flavor because you don't want to overdose on the dose, right? Now, is it safe to say that some people have used some sort of
trickery,
sorcery dark in a magic liquid form flavorings to make something that dark?
Yeah. I think there definitely would be some, you know, on a larger scale, additives that could be put in after the brewing process. But I know just for me as a hobby brewer that, you know, when I'm going for a short beer, that I add dark malts after I have already mashed. And so I'm not extracting much dark flavor into the wort.
Just
we'll
color
be back with
just
more a about bit of this color. Yep, in just a second.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. So today, we're doing an episode, and we're going on the dark side. And what we've been talking about before the break was Schwarzweather, which is a Schwarzbier from Spanglang Brewery. And we were talking about different ways of making a Schwarzbier. So, with that being said, what are we going to rate this Schwarzweather? Or Schwarzweather? Shall we go with a 4?
I guess we shall.
Sounds good to me.
All right, cool. Moving on, let's do something a little different, and let's go to the shirtless Putin Catch and Raise Czech Dark Lager. This beer is 5.3% ABV, and as it is, it's a dark Czech lager, although it's a lot lighter in color than our previous beer.
Dang near ruby. Yep.
Right.
It's not as Schwartz as our Schwartz beer.
The Schwartz is not as strong.
Badumch.
No, we're not doing that.
Tasty.
I like it. I mean, I think it's definitely got a nice malt forward flavor.
It is malty.
I want to make fun of it just because of the name.
Sure.
Well, I think you should.
You know how it's, you know, kind of impotent. You know, a little thin.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. It puts up a big front.
Yeah.
You know, and then it just doesn't deliver.
Right.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But the beer actually is not bad.
Actually, the beer is quite nice. It's just, you know, I'm sure when they named it, they were, you know, naming it to make fun of, you know, somebody that needs to be made fun of. And
may or may not take.
It's kind of a cartoon himself.
Photo off.
Sure.
Opportunities without shirts on the back of small horses.
Riding,
ponies,
riding a polar bear while he's catching salmon with his teeth.
This is, it's interesting to me because I don't know that I've ever had a dark Czech lager before, and I'm kind of like confused as to what it's supposed to be. Do you know what I mean?
It's like if a Schwartz beer and a Dunkel had a baby.
Okay.
And they called it Putin.
Leia. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Is Putin all over the place?
Yeah. I guess because it's not as...
got me Putin.
Wow. I mean, it's not as dry as the last one.
Definitely not. It's got a maltiness to the finish and in the front end.
Yeah.
It's malty, really, much more so throughout, in my opinion. But, you know, one man's opinion.
Yeah, and it doesn't finish clean and neutral, you know.
Yeah.
You've still got a little sweetness.
There's a little lingering.
Yeah, you know, like is
no,
that, maybe
no,
not
no.
Represent, maybe it might not be the best, you know, BJCP style representation, but
so speaking of BJCP, the overall impression should be a rich, dark, malty Czech lager with a roast character that can vary from almost absent to quite prominent. Malty balance and an interesting and complex flavor profile with variable levels of hopping that provide a range of possible interpretations. So basically, it could be anything.
A politician wrote that.
Anyone. I know. Some of these BJCP style descriptions are, the parameters are just off the chart.
Well, these are the new 2021 versions. So yeah, it's all inclusive. But like, I don't know. It's not a bad beer.
It's good.
It's not what I would think of when somebody said to me, though, Czech lager.
Yeah.
I
don't know.
Well, like, but it kind of reminds me of an amber ale, though, in a way. Am I wrong in thinking that?
I mean, color certainly matches.
Color matches. I mean, it's got a little bit of sweetness to it. But I don't think it's, I don't think it totally matches.
Okay.
But when I think of Czech lagers, I think a little something a little more hop forward.
Yeah. So. And this isn't that. It's more malt forward.
This is more like candy to me. Like I feel like like if I started talking like caramel or, you know, notes like that. Not
like an English brown kind of,
maybe.
Yeah, but I get northern. Yeah, I get a little bit of almost like a Karamunic
characteristic
aspect to it as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
but it's okay.
No, yeah. It's nice. It's decent. Okay, well, we are going to rate the shirtless Putin Catch and Ray as a 3. Okay, now for something completely different.
You keep saying this word.
And they're all...
It does not mean...
But this one is completely different, because I don't know that I've really had one of these before. The Obscura Dark Mexican Lager from Tivoli. This is 5.2% ABV, so still in the same wheelhouse of this 5%-ish stuff that we've been drinking. This Mexican lager reflects a blend of Mexican and German brewing traditions. It features a substantial amount of Vienna malt and flaked corn and is lagered for over a month.
Hmm. Yeah, it has a more rounded taste than the previous one.
Would you attribute that to the maize?
I would. I think that makes it unique, or at least more of an indigenous. Corn. Yeah. Yeah.
But this is really neat, you know, because when I think of Mexican lagers, I think of something that's...
with a lime in it.
Could be.
And skunky.
Could be.
Well, they don't all have to be skunky. Some people don't put them in clear bottles.
That's true.
True.
That is true.
True. Thank you, Pacifica. But
Vittorio.
Yeah.
Mega Modelo.
Right.
Which I say this has some similarities to Negro Modelo. I mean,
fair.
Yeah.
But I like this a lot. I think this is a little more complex and rounded out.
It's,
I can probably get the other one easier, though.
True.
But I mean, maybe we could start a trend and like start having dark Mexican lagers, you know? We can.
If this is what what it's going to be. Amen. Yes, I think that should absolutely be.
Yeah, no, because this is
an amazing beer.
Yeah, it's really good. And I could see it going with Mexican cuisine just as well as the lighter versions of it. And really easy drinking and flavorful for what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, like, I don't know, Drew and Mark, you guys cook more than we do. Like, what kind of food would you use this with?
Like I say, I could see steaming, you know, like a delicate white fish for a fish taco, you know.
Mole,
you know, it's got
a nice chocolate note to it. I also wouldn't hate it with some cumin spice, like barbecue, you know, something, you know, like some good bark to it, but like some Mexican spices, you know, to offset some of that.
I'll be honest. Yeah, no, that's dude,
no, I know, we're all hungry now.
Yeah. But you know, I have to say, like, when we first saw this beer and it said dark Mexican lager, I almost was kind of thinking like Mexican stout, like they were going to go the cinnamon and like chilies, like Mexican cake, wedding cake or something like that. And I'm glad that's not what it was.
Agreed. Because although that's good.
No, those are great beers.
Yeah.
But I like that this is just a German influenced stout that is brewed, or a lager that is brewed really well and with some corn and has like that indigenous Mexican component to it that I think is, man, I mean, it makes you feel like a lot of the big commercial Mexican beers give them a bad name.
Well, I mean, it'd be like coming to America and judging our brewing scene by Coors, Miller Lite, Mick Ultra, but not, and nothing against those beers. They're very difficult to make. They do them very consistently and very well at facilities all over the world. They're very good at what they do, but
they're scaled down to hit as many palates as possible.
Correct.
You know,
broad appeal.
Yeah, but this is outstanding, man. This is a great, great beer. But
yeah.
To that point, I feel like I could pour this for somebody who drinks a Budweiser or somebody who drinks like some obscure craft beer, and both people would like it.
I agree, but I think you'd have to pour in a cup that couldn't see the color.
Fair.
Okay.
Because people have that weird
mentality of something dark around, is going to be really thick and chewy.
Put red food coloring in white wine and you can fool a sommelier.
There you go.
Literally.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think the corn does something. It's really interesting in a lager vis-a-vis an ale. Like, I'm thinking cream ales have a lot of, you know, maize in them. But the corn, you know, is melded more with the, you know, kind of the fruitiness and the of an ale. And so this really, I think, is a good, it pairs well with a lager in that if you serve it cold, it just, it's even more, has more of a thin aspect to it. Not in a negative sense, but you could drink more of it.
Yeah.
On a hot day. So it's
crushable.
It's a crushable beer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if it warms up, then you get a little bit more of that corn than you would originally notice.
Like most things, it warms up, you get a little more complexity, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Cool.
So I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we are going to rate the Obscura Dark Mexican Lager from Tivoli a 5.
I would like for it to be less obscure. Bring it to my market.
All right, let's get into some story time.
Oh, no.
Story time with Raylan and Mark?
Story time.
Yeah, you know, I mean, all stories are true even if they didn't happen, but this seems to...
and you are a reverend, I would like to point out.
All good stories. I have to qualify that. All good stories are true even if they didn't happen. But this apparently happened of all places in China, which upon consideration, it makes even more sense. It has to do with this man who bought some special medicinal wine that was conditioned with a venomous snake inside each bottle. He bought 3 bottles of this stuff.
So isn't all wine medicinal? But then the snake, that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it was sold, I guess, for medicinal purposes. Yeah. Meaning, I guess you could buy it in a drugstore. I'm not sure. But anyway.
Did they keep it next to the sacramental wine?
Yeah.
But wait a second. Does the goodness of the snake ooze into the wine?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You've never had it till the snake oozes into it.
Yeah. And this is cobra. Cobras. We're in one cobra per bottle.
Those are some big bottles.
What's that
then,
malt liquor? Yeah. King there, Cobra. Yeah, there you go. So this is like if you bought some King Cobra malt liquor to, you know, medicine. You know.
It might be a cease and desist coming somewhere.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's fair.
Okay. So be the first apparently one. This man bought it for his ill son who had some sort of a chronic illness and set these bottles aside for almost a year and then opened the first one and was just attacked immediately by one of the snakes. Got snake bit, was taken to a hospital. Good news.
Hold on. Snake wine that bites you.
Yes. Snake wine
that bites you. Is that what makes it medicinal?
So, okay, so let's take this story. So, okay, so a guy goes and buys some medicinal wine with poisonous snakes in it for his son. So it's not for me, it's for my son.
Right.
And then he lets it sit for a year.
For a year. Yeah. And apparently they left the cap slightly unscrewed so that it would breathe.
The snake got just enough air to stay alive.
Just enough air to stay alive.
And it's been soaking in wine for a year, so it's drunk as crap.
Yep.
And I'd imagine a little angry.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
So you open it up, you get a drunk, angry cobra coming at you.
Yep.
Only in China. Only in, or maybe Alabama.
Yeah, wow. I was about to say, can we really judge? We're just
I think in Alabama it'd be a copperhead though.
I don't know.
Maybe a cottonmouth? I don't know.
Rattlesnake.
Yeah. Could be a rattler.
Yeah.
But apparently, at least in China, like, you know, and I guess, you know, this is sort of the holistic market in medicine.
Traditional
there.
Traditional medicine.
Aside from traditional medicine.
So does this in the old West, didn't they have snake oil salesmen? Wasn't that a thing they fake medicine was called snake oil?
Yeah. That actually makes you wonder, is that something inherited from the Chinese labor that was imported to the West, essentially slave labor used to build the railways?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, no, it's full of snakes. It's good for you.
Right.
But it is believed that the snake venom has medicinal qualities that help with different kinds of medical issues, such as nearsightedness, hair loss, and erectile dysfunction.
There it is.
There you go.
There it is. Yeah.
Now it all makes sense.
And he was getting this for his son.
Yeah. Oh, right. It's not for me. It's for my son. You know?
Yeah.
It's not
performance
that,
issues.
It's not that my snake's not working. Right. You know.
Well, and it's just interesting too how he waited a year before popping one of these open. Like,
well, you got to let it
was
age.
Was he thinking ahead? Yeah. Like, I mean.
I guess he was.
Okay. Wow. That's
So beware of Chinese.
So do you guys think that will ever be a trend that catches on in America? Snake wine.
No.
God, I hope not. I mean, I don't know. Okay,
let me ask you this. All right. If you were in China, okay, or you went to a Chinese friend's house.
And they offered you
and
something.
And they were like, hey, dude, I got something. It's a little out there. Okay, would you drink snake wine?
Is there money involved?
I would 100% try it.
Yeah.
100%. Because why not?
Are you opening the bottle?
No, hell no. I'm not going to open the bottle. I'm like, all right, you open it over there across the room. You know, because I'm not that fast, but I can outrun a drunk snake. Okay.
You don't have to outrun the drunk snake. You just have to outrun the other people.
That's true. Right. So I can get out of the room before the drunk snake crosses the room at me. But I would 100% try snake wine. 100%.
Not sure how I feel about you now.
Probably no different than you did before.
Okay. Yeah, that's...
You're not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
But yeah, I could see it being marketed in a certain way here where, to me, it's no more risky than some of these hard seltzers where,
exactly.
Well, I certainly have seen some late night infomercials marketing questionable products here in the United States. I don't know if quite on the level of this, but
we'd have like gummy snake wine or something.
Ugh, don't.
CBD infused.
Yeah. Sure.
Ooh, lactose snake wine.
Oh, God.
What?
But you think about it. I mean, snakes and then using snakes as an antidote to snake, it's like it's the anti-venoms and the sign of the American Medical Association with the snake around the pole, which really goes back to Hebrew origins of Moses in the desert with the Hebrew children, and they were being attacked by snakes because they were complaining so much. It says that the Lord inflicted...
That's a pretty hard way to
after them.
Deal with people. Like,
don't make me pull this car over and send snakes after you. Right. Stay on your side of the car, your brother.
If you kids don't shut up, okay, I'm going to send snakes after you.
Don't make me turn this car around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're all going to the bad place.
You get a snake. Except for Reverend Martin. You get a snake.
Everybody gets a snake. Yeah.
So they had like a killed snake on a pole that then counteracted the venom from the live snakes. And you think that's kind of like a killed virus that we take to ward off real viruses.
There you go.
So I don't know. I know that's kind of a very broad analogy, but there you go.
That's... answer so much.
Kind of like the definition of Czech dark lager.
Yeah.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
Czech dark snake lager.
Yeah, wow.
That's the next thing. Yeah.
Or snake. We will definitely start a new trend with that. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And if you have to, get it from another country, then your check's in the mail.
Yeah. We'll be back with some more discussion in just a minute. The destination, but baby, the whole elation of riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view. Welcome back, everyone. So today's discussion is, gone on the dark side.
Snakes and beer.
Snakes and beer.
Darkness.
Yes. But we're going to move on to some beer. And the next one that we are going to talk about is the Big Bad Bronze Baltic Porter.
Baltic.
Mm-hmm. Yes. This is from Odyssey Beer Works in Arvada, Colorado. And this is a whopping 7.3% ABV.
Yep. Yeah, it is.
Crisp, smooth, full-bodied beer with notes of plum, toffee, and raisins.
Yep. Not you sure got the dark fruit in there for sure.
Not sure if I'd describe it as crisp.
Not crisp. This one's warmed up.
Yeah.
I would say a prune juice. Not really. It's better than that. Just being facetious.
But there are...
It's something that my grandmother used to give me when I was a little boy. Here, take some prune juice.
Oh, wow.
Is that when you were being a little jerk?
Yeah, right.
He was running around too much, and she wanted to make sure that he stayed at the
back. Grandma needs you to sit down for a little bit.
Yeah.
It's got some sort of barley wine notes to it, though, like raisin-ish kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a barley wine, but, you know, there's no otter hops.
It's more into that spectrum than anything we've had so far.
Sure. Well, a Baltic porter is an offshoot of an 18th century porter style channeled through the history of imperial stouts. In the late 1700s, Henry Thrale's Anchor Brewery in London was famous for its dark porter beers, and they shipped a lot of them to the Baltic states, and I guess that's how it sort of developed. What's interesting, though, about this style is that it can be either ailed or lagered. Yeah, and I've had both versions. I tend to like the lagering version better.
Yeah.
Than the ale version. No offense to the ale versions. And I mean, it could be aged for what, a couple months to like over a year. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you could almost to kind of strike a balance, you could ferment it like you would say an alt beer, which is, you know, an ale at a low temperature. So you could do it that way as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the name Baltic Porter has only been around since the 90s.
Really?
Like, it's not a historical name.
Oh, wow.
Like, it was...
That doesn't surprise me.
It describes a modern collection of beers with a somewhat similar profile
from
Baltic countries, and it's not historical version, so...
Who came up with the first one? They probably, you know, applied for the style or what?
Exactly. They probably have a trademark on the name Baltic
Porter. Like Tennessee whiskey, you know?
Yeah, totally. But it's very... Okay, so it's a lot different than the previous beers that we had. It's a little bit more fruit-forward, you know, in that maltiness. Does it feel 7.3%?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Boozy.
Yeah.
Was the first thing. A little
bit, yeah. Down. I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely
compared to everything else.
Definitely compared to the others. You know, 2% is a pretty
And it's
big
not
jump.
As big as some of them get. I'm thinking of the one that... very interesting beer, Flying Dog Gonzo.
Imperial Porter.
Mm-hmm.
Such a good
but
beer.
But that is a Baltic Porter.
It is.
That they actually made for Hunter S. Thompson. And yeah, it was his favorite beer.
Wow.
Great bottle art. Is it his bottle art?
Yeah. What is it? What is that one, like 8 or 9?
It's 9.2%.
I thought it was close to 10. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, there you
That'll get you.
There you go. But, okay, so for... The Baltic Porters that I've had and that Reverend Marcus had, I think this is a little light in this scheme of flavors on a Baltic Porter.
I think so too.
You know, it's like it's been young aged as opposed to old aged, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense.
So the complexities haven't developed yet.
Yeah, you know, yeah, exactly. You're... Exactly. I'd love to see this if this was aged a bit longer, you know, and more like dark fruitiness and... Maybe like take that little alcohol burn off of the top and, you know, and trade it with the fruitiness.
It feels like it needs like a little more bittering component to it or something.
I wouldn't hate just a barrel finish personally. That's
very, very true as well. Like I was thinking barrel or extra hops or something, just something to kind of cut that sweetness and the booziness a little bit.
Introduce a little more astringency. Want to go back and keep drinking it.
Yeah, get that pucker kind of like where you want to.
Yeah, sure.
Or I could see with this one being, if you lagered it, that once it's fermented, then I make an ice beer from it.
Oh, wow.
Condense it even further.
Yeah.
We don't encourage anybody doing that in the United States of America because that would be illegally distilling.
Yeah.
Don't tell
kind
anyone.
Kind of distilling in reverse order, but yeah.
Well, anyways, we are going to rate this Baltic Porter, otherwise known as Big Bad Bronze Baltic Porter, a 4.
Oh.
4's had it.
Okay. I mean, I was three, but whatever.
Okay. Let's move on to the next one. This one is from Brews Beers, and this is their Czech Dark Lager.
Brews Beers.
Haven't we had
4.8% ABV.
You know, we started with a dark Czech lager.
Well, we didn't start. You're right. So this is full flavor with chocolate, roast, and malt, a complex beer that is still light, refreshing, and a low ABV that you can enjoy several with. So 4.8%, this is a little lower than the rest that we've had.
You know what's weird is like, so the previous beer was 7%.
7.3, yep.
This one's 4.8, mm-hmm. and I feel like there's more complexity in this beer.
You don't feel like it, there is.
Oh, I feel like it. I'm I'm feeling me right now.
I feel it all over.
Yeah.
This, yep. I could just mm-hmm. inhale this. Like, I mean, like literally just inhale.
It's got the aroma.
The aroma.
It's got the mouthfeel.
I just did.
Yeah. Whoops. Yep. Drew just found out he cannot breathe wow. beer.
Not for lack of trying.
Well, there's a first time for yeah. everything.
Fish doesn't wow. know it's in water.
Yep.
Yeah, and what's the ABV on this? This is
4.8.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
See, that's what I just think this beer is fantastic when you consider that.
Right. Alone. Alone. Right.
I almost wonder, like, are they lying?
Yeah, yeah. I know.
Tell me the real ABV.
Right.
Well, you know, like so many times, like when we do IPAs, you know, we'll do a flight and like we'll maybe mix in a session IPA or a lower ABV one, and it suffers, you know, because it lacks flavor or complexity. This is the exact opposite.
This is the lowest ABV that we had in the flight.
Yep. Right.
Mm-hmm. We're finishing with it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like we're doing everything wrong.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Completely.
And it's blowing our minds.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is ridiculous.
And yet our palates are not so fatigued that they can't pick up some new interesting notes.
No, and
from
especially
this.
Coming yep. after that. Coming after that 7.3% Baltic Porter.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's some chocolate and there's, you know, a little bit of roast, but there's just a lot of different things happening with this beer and they're all good.
God, I mean, yeah, this is a testament.
I've never heard of this brewed before. Have you guys? Like,
Brews no. beers? No.
I never have, but I think that it puts the Putin lager to shame.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Wow. This is impressive.
It puts almost all the rest of the flight to shame. I mean, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. all of them were good.
Yeah.
Right. No, there was not a bad beer.
Right.
In
right.
The
right. Right. Right.
I would drink plenty of every one of the beers in this flight, but this one, if you just line them all up, this is far and away best in show.
Yeah. This one's a little extra special. Well, the Brews Beers Dark Czech Lager, we are going to rate a 5.
As if there was any doubt.
Only because we don't have a 6.
Now, looks like we have time for
bonus.
Right?
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay. So let's go into the Jolly Roger Black Lager.
Yars.
Yeah.
Except it's not.
Yeah. So this one is 5.2% ABV. And it is coming from Eddie Line Brewery.
Eddie Line.
Mm-hmm.
Is that down old Copper Line?
Sorry.
Wow.
This is Buena Vista, Colorado.
Ah, bueno.
Right. What's interesting is the description that was told to us was that it was a lager.
Black lager.
We were sold mm-hmm. a bill of goods.
Yeah.
Yep. 5.2% ABV, black as midnight sky, bold as a pirate.
It is not black as midnight sky. It's pretty dark.
It's, yeah, I mean, but it's not. It's one of the darker beers in the flight, I would say.
I mean,
well, because there were at least two that were lighter than it.
Fair. I would say the Schwarzweather was.
That black was the as darkest. Night. That yeah. was the darkest one.
Yeah.
This would be second or third.
Agreed. It's tasty. I mean, it should be a lager.
Yeah.
But it's tasty. There's a
fruitiness about it.
I should say there's a yeah. rum sweetness that I was going to say.
That makes me feel like that might be the difference between this and if it was a lager. It doesn't finish as clean.
Is that something that's characteristic of ale yeast versus lager yeast?
I think so. Like there's
right.
To me, it's the finish a lot of times.
And you have, yeah, it's fermented at an ambient temperature. And because this is an ale without a lot of hops. I mean, there's the black IPAs that we've talked about, but this, you know, doesn't have the hop to counterbalance anything. So you're getting a little bit more fruit.
This one's got a little more mouthfeel to it, too, to me. It's, it's a little chewier.
It is. It's interesting.
I would posit, and I may be entirely wrong, but that's, I would think that is something to be expected more from an ale yeast than a lager yeast in general.
Yeah,
because lagers like tend to be drier, right?
Things don't drop out at those cold temperatures, like,
right?
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
This is nice.
Yeah, now, and you know, if you ferment your ales at a very low ambient, you're going to get less, you know, fruit, but you're still going to get some.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't bad, and this works in the flight. I mean, in the scheme of it, right? Yeah.
Even though they lied to us and hurt our feelings, I still like it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, we are going to rate the Jolly Roger Black Lager
Ale.
Yar.
A lager.
Black from ale. Eddie Line, we are going to rate this a 4.
Good job, Eddie Line.
Just don't lie about it being a
lager. Don't ever lie to me again.
Okay. Now, quickly, we do have time for just one more bonus beer.
What?
And bonuses on bonuses.
I know, right? And what we have in front of us is the Dunkel from Yeehaw Brewing, which is kind of in our...
Johnson City, Tennessee.
Yeah, which is in our backyard.
Well, our yard's not that big, but...
The state's quite large.
Yeah.
Well, true.
So this one is 5.5% ABV, and again in the wheelhouse of a lot of what we've been drinking today.
So Dunkel is another German, a dark German lager.
Made with wheat?
Dunkelweizen is made with wheat.
Right.
But a traditional Dunkel is just, I think, barley.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, it's
I always look at Reverend Mark because he knows everything. I don't know.
No, it's not a wheat ale at all. You're right. There is the Weizenbock.
There is a Dunkelweizen, which is the kind of the wheat version of a Dunkel. It's a dark wheat beer.
Right.
No.
Right. But like the Dunkel is really just a nice big dark kind of chocolatey beer.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely big, especially for 5.5%. It drinks kind of like that Big Bad Brawn a little bit. Not quite as boozy.
Not as boozy, probably not as pruney with the dark fruits, but it's definitely got a bigger flavor than a Schwarz beer. Like that, that's the cool thing about it. It's like a Schwarz beer is German. It's extremely clean lager. A Dunkel is also a German lager, dark German lager, but it's got more rounded flavors going on.
It's really right between the Schwarz beer that we started out with and then the Czech amber that was more nuanced. This is in the middle.
Between
those two.
Very cool. Yeah. And I'm very happy that a Tennessee brewery has a really nice version of a Dunkel. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a style that a lot of American breweries do.
No, it's not common. And I mean, still in this day and age, we're getting so many funky IPAs and sour IPAs and fruited things and lactosey things.
Smoothies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, it's gummies. Yeah, gummies and all sorts of things.
Slushies.
But this is nice to like actually go back to basics, if you will.
Beer flavored beer.
Right. Exactly. And this is very flavorful. And again, at 5.5% ABV? This is a lot.
Is it just me or is this less quote unquote roasty than the Schwarz beers that we had? Or is that just the higher ABV, you know, the more quote unquote booze?
Yeah, I don't get a lot of roast character in this.
So here's what a Dunkel should be. It's a traditional malty brown lager from Bavaria. Deeply toasted, bready malt flavors without any roast or burnt flavors. Smooth and rich with a restrained bitterness and a relatively dry finish that allows for drinking in quantity.
There you go.
I love that. That's my best kind of beer.
It's quaffable.
Yeah. It's very quaffable. And we are going to rate this a 4 for the Yeehaw Dunkel.
Well, Yeehaw. I'm pretty sure Yeehaw is German for... That's good.
I think the Germans are going to be mad at you. but it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's going to do it for today's episode. And what a cool episode, I think, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, with all these like interesting dark beers.
I could do this again.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to thank my co-host today for joining us all together. Reverend Mark, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. So good to be here.
Good old boy Drew.
Thanks for having me.
Good old boy Dave.
Moist.
Had to.
Of course.
Had to be
of
done.
Of course. Well, this is good old gal Juliana. Thank you so much for joining us. Keep on chuggling and catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.